Hello and welcome to another installment of Author Audio, brought to you by Quality Progress Magazine and ASQ, the global voice of quality. Joining me today is the co-author of our cover story for the September 2011 edition of the magazine, Ron Kennett. Ron is the chairman and CEO of global consulting firm KPA Limited, a research professor at the University of Torino in Italy, and international professor associate in the Department of Finance and Risk Engineering at the Polytechnic Institute of New York University. He's also the author of several books, including Operational Risk Management, and for more than a decade, he co-wrote the Worldview column in QP Magazine. He's here today to talk with us about a better way to combat risk in any organization. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Welcome. It's pleasure to be here.
Well, why don't we just start maybe just with some background. For those who may need a little education on the subject, can you give us the basics or a quick background on risk management and why it's so crucial for organizations?
So risk management can be reactive or proactive. Proactive means you conduct a risk assessment. Mm-hmm. You perform risk control, risk mitigation initiatives, and you have a risk review. And this is what the article is about. Reactive risk management involves escalation and recall procedures. And the reason is very simple, that no planned risk management is too high a risk for organizations.
And we've seen a lot of examples of that. You know, some are more high profile than others, and these examples seem to come in every day. When you look at some of the more prominent recent instances, is it possible that better risk management would have helped them avoid these situations?
Well, this is a bit tricky. We usually don't get full exposure to the extent of risk management in organizations like Toyota, British Petroleum, and going back in time, Pan Am and TWA that have disappeared. Regulated industries such as healthcare provide, however, striking examples. The most striking example is probably the IHI challenge to reduce by June 2006 the number of deaths in U.S. hospitals due to medication errors, surgical errors, or missed diagnosis. There are a lot of other examples.
Yeah, and of course, with different industries, they're going to approach this in different ways. You know, you look at healthcare, and obviously they're going to do this differently than financial or manufacturing or whatever. But are there certain tips or guidelines that applies to every organization, regardless of the industry, and what are the differences between them?
Financial institutions are rewarded by applying advanced risk management that meets the Basel III requirements. The reward is a requirement for lower capital requirements.
Okay.
So they have more cash to work with.
Sure.
The pharmaceutical industry is encouraged to comply with ICH Q9 guidelines on risk management and are accordingly audited by regulators such as the FDA or the European regulatory agencies. Mm-hmm. And probably the main difference in how risk management is applied is in the type of data used, which can be either very qualitative, relying on expert opinions, up to very quantitative, using advanced statistical methods.
And you talk about data a lot in the article. Obviously, you know, quality is very heavy on, you know, measures and being able to track these kind of things. And in the article, you and your fellow co-authors advocate a very proactive, a very hands-on, a very data-driven approach to managing risk. How is this different than the typical strategy you've seen in the past?
Well, the article actually builds on a risk-based audits approach conducted by the FDA, where they decide what to audit, when to audit, how to audit.
Okay.
And what we describe is taking a proactive approach and basically getting them to conduct internal risk-based audits to generate information for initiating risk mitigation strategies and ensuring compliance and excellence in line with quality by design objectives. So we are basically proactive in setting up the methodology and in implementing it.
You mentioned that this is kind of based on in the pharmaceutical realm. Do you think that this strategy is applicable outside of that? Is this easily transferable to, you know, manufacturing, healthcare, other areas?
Well, audits are conducted throughout the different industries. So in that sense, yes, the answer I think is yes. It has to be adapted, of course, to the specifics.
Okay. Are you seeing examples of this being used in real-world settings? You know, it seems like you guys are kind of, like you said, taking this risk-based audit that the FDA uses and sort of evolving it a little bit. Do you see it a lot out in the real world, or is this something that's still kind of taking hold right now?
Well, if you take it in the context of quality-based organizations and the role that they play on measure, what we see is an evolution of quality as a discipline. In the mid-80s, I used to give workshops on Deming principles, which brought a new message. Nowadays, this is there's no market for that. It's basic common sense.
Sure.
The trilogy of Duran was designed to generate improvements at a revolutionary pace. And with today's widespread deployment of Six Sigma and Lean Sigma, we are better at that, and this is becoming standard practice. So risk management is in a sense, an evolution of these initiatives, and it has helped the quality discipline focus on new aspects that are taking focus on aspects that were not included in what I was referring to before.
Mm-hmm.
And the risk scores we discussed in the article and how we compute them, they provide an essential measurement to turn risk management into an effective and efficient discipline. So in a sense, we are providing an expansion of things that have happened before, and presumably this is what is going to happen in the future.
And for the organizations that are considering this approach, this evolution, what advice would you give them, or how would you sell them, how would you convince them to implement it in their day-to-day operations?
Well, the answer, I'm afraid, is going to be quite boring. In other words, people will have heard it before.
Uh-huh.
You need a champion. You need adequate support with time and responsibilities assigned to these champions so that they can do the thing that is expected from them. And management support, like in any other change, is the key. It is not something that can be done in an office without communicating to others. It is really a top-down initiative.
Okay. Well, certainly a message that quality professionals have heard before, but you know, in this article, they're certainly going to get a lot more, certainly something new in here for them. So I guess that'll do it for today. Thanks very much, Ron. I appreciate you joining us today.
Sure, my pleasure.
And for more on this, you can check out the September 2011 edition of Quality Progress Magazine. The article is Sightseeing, and Ron Kennett co-authored that with Louis Yu, Esther Erkin, and Steve Lum from Perrigo, a global pharmaceutical company, and Ron Van Jacob, a fellow consultant at KPA Limited. That'll do it for this edition of Author Audio. I'm Brett Kraskowski, assistant editor with Quality Progress. Thanks for joining us today.